Blog Talk Radio. Storybox Audio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us, those of you who have. And this is the Sunday show with co-host Wayne Johnson and the progressive professor Ron Feynman. And I'm the producer, Gwen Berry, and I'm in Florida, and so is Ron, and we're in the middle of mean season, which is hitting close by. I thought we'd probably be smart enough to start out with Ida and the fact that people should be, if anybody out there does any help outs or anything, or your contributors, please think of the people in NOLA and Lower Louisiana right now. They're getting hit with a really bad storm. I've been watching the cameras that have stayed live, and it's a nasty storm. You know, a lot of people say, well, they fixed the levees, and that I don't really quite believe at all. They've known that they were going to come up against this again, and they've really done nothing. Infrastructure bills that have been passed, even the latest one, I mean, it's built in corruption, getting everything again. It's just...
I hope you're wrong, and I hope that we discovered that it did work this time, but we'll have to wait and see, I guess, yeah.
I was speaking with a guy who was from New Orleans. He was up here visiting Annapolis. We both happened to be in a seafood market together. And we got talking about it, and he said, the reason why it flooded during the W. Bush administration was, you know, there's like six or eight pumps that's supposed to pump out the water as it collected in that depression basin, which is New Orleans. The only problem is only one of them worked. So when the hurricane of W. Bush came through, that little one pump wasn't going to keep up. And I said, well, yeah, that's a shame. And he said, of course, you know, with their Republican leadership, guess what hasn't been fixed?
The governor is Democrat, John Bel Edwards, and I think he's pretty decent comparatively.
Yeah.
He is a Democrat.
You're right. You are correct, yes. But what I'm saying is over the period there, the legislators and everything haven't funded up any money to fix, again, the same thing. Guess what?
We've seen 10 years of built-in corruption, taking the funding for everything that was supposed to be, you know, remodified and rebuilt. So, you know, it's all bullshit. I no longer think in terms of whether they're Republican, they're corrupt, or Democrat, they might be okay, because both sides of the fence are dipping into it. You know, it's a machine. It's a machine. I do look at the individual politicians and what they accomplished, but I do not put any kind of faith in party politics he's a Democrat, so he must be a good guy.
What?
I mean, look at our state, Ron's and mine. Everybody thinks that conservatives are bad. I just spent 2 weeks in a state where most people are conservatives, very independent people who were as nice as they could be, strangers stopping to say hello in a parking lot. I mean, that kind of nice. They definitely are not MAGA people up there at all. And my point is that they do feel that you should, you know, of course, a lot of them are living on petroleum money. All of them are, actually.
Right.
And
so
such. But they,
from the petroleum
they do. But they also respect privacy. They respect each other's territory. They also do everything they can in a community basis. I saw that firsthand. And there's not that many people. There's less than 500,000 people in Alaska itself, and most of those people are around the cities of Juneau and Anchorage. And
Fairbanks, too. I think also Fairbanks.
Well, yeah, but not as many as down, below it. because Fairbanks is really, really, really cold. But they may be considered conservative, and there's I'm sure quite a few Democrats in the state of Alaska too. But they have some they'd be just as happy to, you know, secede from the whole thing, as long as they can keep their petroleum incomes to keep the state up. Why not? You know.
Yeah.
I heard that. I heard that said a few times, and I don't blame them. And the Native Americans, the nations in Alaska, are the wealthiest community. They've got their own hospitals, their own schools, and they're much better than anything outside of them. None of the schools are as good, and none of the hospitals. In fact, if you get really sick, like cancer or something like that in Alaska, people do fly down here to get treated. So it's like that. But it really, with what's going on right this very minute in the parishes below New Orleans and New Orleans itself, Ron, how many hurricanes have you ridden out down here?
I've lost count.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I can remember being a little girl. I don't know. I think I was 5. And Hurricane Donna came through. And, you know, I grew up right off the inlet, Hillsborough Inlet down at Lighthouse Point. But I can remember watching the rain blow through the cement walls of the house. My mom thought she'd had structural damage, but she actually didn't. But the winds in Donna whipped up over 200 miles an hour. Now, that was, like 1960? They said all these other storms have been so much worse, and that's crap, because the building standards, like with, what was it that came through? I had to chop open the bad one that came through Miami that darted
Andrew,
in.
You mean, right?
Andrew, yeah.
In 92, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Andrew was not as bad a storm as if the building standards had been met to the same standards.
Right.
And, of course, they changed it back. But, you know, who knows?
But yet Surfside occurred, the collapse of Surfside. So the building standards are still not very good, I don't think.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you, those condos down there, Ron, I mean, and all the way up
to us. I wouldn't want to live in them.
All the way up to us on the beach side. I mean, I've been in and out of them growing up all my life, and
they look beautiful near the ocean, but I think they're death sentences, really, because I don't think they're safe, you know.
Well, people have ridden out the worst of the storms. It's the beach erosion now, you know, that's pulling them out. And climate change with the rising waters.
Rising of the seas.
Yes.
We have the same thing here in Maryland. You know, there was Isabel, which was about, 20 years ago that came up through here. And I, too, have ridden through many, many through our hurricanes. And, you know, the main highway.
You're going to get some of Ida in what are the path they're projecting for it. But,
Baskin
take care of itself. You know, I don't think it's going to be that bad. And of course, Maine, if it clips Maine or Nova Scotia, they're used to really bad nor'easters up there. So I'm thinking, you know, it's not going to be much for them or you. It's right now where
we have nor'easters
sitting
too, right?
It's the tidal surge. It's the tidal surge that people are really and it's, of course, the wind and the damage that's going on at this moment. It does take its toll, but if you have proper structures, you know. I'm thinking about all those houses they began to rebuild down in the districts, and they already had been condemned as not being up to standard. And I can't imagine what's happening to them right now.
Yeah.
Sure.
I wanted to mention, 40 years ago, I was a finalist, and I didn't get the job, for a professorship at Tulane University in New Orleans. I was number two, one of two, but I didn't get it. And then in 2005, we had Katrina, 25 years later, and I thought, maybe there was a reason I didn't get it.
Tulane.
Now I heard right now they're saying that the area near New Orleans, like Metairie, which was where I was discussing with people, where would I move to, you know, the suburb of Metairie. So I'm thinking, wow, it was probably good that I didn't get it, but for years I felt so bad because it was the best name university I ever had a chance for, where it was number two, not number one. And get this, there was an actual vote that I was told about in the department membership, and, you know, you think of Al Gore winning the popular vote but losing the electoral vote, and Hillary Clinton the same against, you know, against Donald Trump. Well, this is an amazing story. 25 faculty members, all right? The final vote for the other person over me was 13 to 12. Can you believe this? One decided it.
Yeah, one decided it. Well,
Tulane is
again.
It
wasn't 14
really
to
nice
11.
School.
It was 13 to 12.
It's a really nice school, Tulane. It really is.
I don't think I would have wanted to live in New Orleans looking back. I don't know. I mean, looking at everything that's happened since,
I'm glad I did not. I love New Orleans.
Yeah, I'm just saying. It's an interesting
wonderful
story.
It's like it's historical, and it's like Savannah or Charleston. It's
yes,
beautiful
of course.
Thing.
And I went back there in 2014 with a friend to the campus. Of course, this was 34 years later. I looked, every single faculty member was no longer there because it's 34 years.
Yes,
so they all had retired or moved on, whatever. But it was just a weird thing to go back after 34 years.
Yeah, I bet.
It is kind of incredible that it's, what is it, 16 or 15 years since Katrina?
It's 16 years, yeah. And I got to tell you, I am concerned. If we have a storm like that in Florida, this is not the time of Jeb Bush, who, while he was not perfect, actually handled the hurricanes fairly well. But I don't see this guy doing anything like Jeb Bush did 15, 20 years ago.
I'm glad I live in neighborhoods that have underground electric and cable and everything. But if the stations go out, you know. But
this governor... You know, I'm starting to compare him to past governors, different issues, but I'm saying, I think in a different way, we could compare him to a George Wallace type, and I'm not sure George Wallace is worse. Imagine that. You know, he's just a horror. Him and the Texas governor, Greg Abbott. DeSantis and Abbott are monstrous.
Yeah, they
are pretty bad. I remember when Katrina hit, I was in Western Massachusetts with my partner Asa doing a workshop when we had no media for days, but my back went out. And my Native American teacher, my first teacher, Tommy Spotted Calf, when we were out collecting feathers in the Everglades one day, he said, well, you got to understand, if you connect yourself to the Earth Mother, that when she begins to, you know, anything especially local to you, have, you know, the elements start screaming, you're going to feel it. Well, Florida and, you know, I at the time was in Massachusetts, but living there, but Florida has always been my home port. So anything in the area or around the sea in the Gulf or the Caribbean, I always kind of feel it coming on. And I could easily say that it's my sinuses or my old bones. There's something like that. But the truth is that I am connected to the land, and I love my mother, you know?
Right.
I felt in Alaska, especially the last couple of days, I felt, you know, my age and my with sciatica really strongly, and to the point of agony. Flying back was not easy. But here's the thing. When I was in Western Massachusetts, we had no media. I had no idea what was going on, but I knew something was terrible wrong someplace because my back went completely out. Now, it's a phenomenon among people in the shamanic community. Lots of people say, oh, yeah, you know. Here's the thing. I'm hearing this from folks, you know, that are not so much a part of that community. They're more of the you know, academic or medical. Of course, a lot of medical are in that community, mine too. But people, their bodies are talking to them about what's going on with the earth. And I think that's incredibly outstanding, because it's showing you that people are finding connection to the planet the way our ancestors did, which makes me hopeful, very hopeful about what's going to come up next. And Ron's talking about, you know, DeSantis being in the office of governor right now. We could get a bad storm this year. What would happen? I agree with Ron 100%. He's a complete frigging jackass. He's a fool.
He doesn't care about kids. He's worried about himself running for president. The guy is really a dictator-in-chief, as a friend of mine calls him, except he doesn't say dictator-in-chief. He spells the letters D-I-C.
Got it. Well, Brent, and you're correct. I fell and broke my wrist, it's been now almost 20 years ago. And, I mean, they had to cut open it. They had to super glue some of the chips together. They had a couple pins in there. And then when it basically healed up and we pulled the pins out and stuff, I was telling the orthopedic surgeon that was treating me, I said, you know, it may sound funny, but bottom line is, I said, I can feel the change in the barometric pressure in this left wrist. And he says, yes, it's true, you know. The body can be that sensitive, especially when this damage that I had in there made it more susceptible, right? I could feel the barometric pressure change in that left wrist.
PSI from weather, all kinds of things. Dude, but the more that you, you know, when you were a kid and you went out and you were close to nature where you grew up, Wayne, and you went out in the fields or onto the farm or whatever, I mean, didn't you know when there was going to be a storm coming? Didn't you know? I mean, and it's nature talks to us, but we don't listen. We haven't listened since industrialization.
Yes.
And huge metropolitan cities.
You can smell the negative ions.
Yes, you can.
You know, the electrons, right, of the rain that may be away from you. But you can smell it. It's a, you know, it's an electrical smell.
It's like
and you knew that, smells like rain. You know, we're going to get some rain here.
Well, I could always tell in when I first moved to the state of New York for boarding school, I understood that the difference in the sky and said, oh, these are clouds. This is not rain. This is snow. And I can smell snow coming.
Right.
My grandmother used to say that, you know, if you're ill, if you're sick, whatever, you know, you get yourself to the beach. You know why? Because the ocean, going into the salt water and the ocean, that's those negative ions that rebuild your vitality, the electric
absolutely.
Nature.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's
and
not booga booga.
Yeah. No, it's look, there's science fact here. It's not, you know, those that want to call it booga booga, no, there's real science, documented science facts of why that is.
That's true. Ron, have you been out and about since getting vaccinated or anything?
Well, actually, I had a third vaccination. I had a booster vaccine about a half ago.
Good
because
for you.
Yeah, because it was January and February, and, you know, some people say wait 8 months, which means I would have to wait to September, I guess, for the, you know. But I decided I was going back to teaching in the classroom, which I did this past week. And I decided, you know, just the Wednesday before this past week, that I'm, as long as I'm eligible and I can get it right here and the public's right here just a mile north of me, Moderna, why not? So it turns out my class has 34 students. It looks like a really good class. I started the class by mentioning this is my 50th year of teaching, and they all cheered and applauded. I was amazed.
Well,
I don't know yet.
You are a treasure, Professor. Let me make that publicly stated here on this show. You are truly a treasure to us all.
Well, so are you, and so are you, both of you are. You absolutely are. Thank you for those nice thoughts. Anyway, so it turns out the college, university, Florida Atlantic does not have a mandate because the state doesn't allow it, as you know, the state university. So, but two-thirds of the people have masks. One-third do not, and they just refuse to wear it. But there is a limit that you cannot come to the department offices or to individual faculty offices without a mask. So I made that clear, but I cannot enforce it in the class. So about one-third of the students, about maybe 8 or 10, don't have a mask. But I have a mask wearing all the way up. I have a county mask, Palm Beach County mask. It's a good one. And I now do all my speaking with the mask all the way up, which I didn't really like, but I've gotten used to it. But it still annoys me because I even wrote a memo to them saying that since your instructor is a senior citizen, it would be very nice if you would consider it. But they still didn't do the next class, so I can't do anything about it. I can't make a scene about it, you know.
Well,
so I just read an article.
Here's the thing. I mean, these people are, these are the ones, too, the unvaccinated and the unmasked. These are the ones who are getting.
I want to wear a mask.
Getting,
I don't know what to vaccinate. Yeah.
Well, I'm saying, though, that right now this Delta variant and now there's another variant on top of it. People who are getting so sick with it and hospitalized and who are sick with it just at home or whatever, the very majority of them are people who are unmasked, A, and B, did not get a vaccination.
Exactly.
That's what happened.
I just read an article, a teacher in California, she was an anti-vaxxer, she wasn't vaccinated, she refused to wear a mask. The kids started back up in school, and, of course, the doors of the schools have only been open for just a few days, and she had the Delta variant. She's infected half of her class, and basically when the children are out playing around,
that.
She's infected half of the school. She is
a
type of variant because, out in California.
But before I got onto the plane to fly to Anchorage, and I had to stop over in the city I don't like, Chicago.
Why don't you like Chicago?
Yeah.
Oh, the airport's visible.
Oh, the airport, but Chicago's a great city for tourism, though.
Yeah, I've stayed in Chicago 3 times, and on Lakeshore Drive, mind you, and twice, once in a neighborhood. But I will tell you, every time I walked out a door, I heard pop, 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 and this gal knows what that is.
Oh, my gosh.
I lived in New
Chicago
York on and off all my life, and I know how dangerous it could be, but I never once left my door or walked a street or even a back alley in New York City and felt endangered.
Jeez.
And I was there during the blackout. The big blackout. I was in school at the time I was there. And let me tell you.
Yeah, I've been to Chicago twice, never had a problem, but boy, that's scary.
Yeah, I do not care. Well, and it doesn't, at the time I heard it, this is years ago, I probably wouldn't have been so afraid of it because I was used to New York and Memphis and other cities. But I got to tell you, there was something about Chicago that was like duck dive now. I was like.
I've always heard that if you stay for the south side, that it's not bad in the tourist area or near Wrigley Field. That's what I've always heard. I don't know if that's true.
I was around town. I heard it more than just walking out. Why should I be hearing it? I was walking out of a 5-star hotel on Lakeshore Drive. And I'm like,
wow.
My God.
What time of day was this?
It was the morning, like 10 a.m. I mean,
it's not late at night or something. My God, that's horrifying. And I was thinking of going next summer to Chicago with a friend. Now, oh, my God. One way I look at it is you can't live your life worrying all the time you're going to die. You can't.
That's right. You cannot.
Scary when you say that.
It
makes you think.
It was very daunting for me to get on planes after planes to go to Alaska. But it was worthwhile, and I will always make the choice, no matter what shape or what time I'm in, to travel, because I adore it.
I also adore it. I haven't done it since 2019 because of what's going on, but I want to do it next year.
Well, I got on the plane after I was vaccinated for a couple of weeks. I got on the plane for Maine and back, remember? And I was, it was cattle car only. Let me tell you what, before I took this trip and before I took the trip to Maine, I rapid test. I went and got a rapid test because I don't want to be Typhoid Mary. I am vaccinated, but I could be carrying it and not realize it because I'm vaccinated.
Exactly right. That's why you wear the mask.
Yeah, I've been as careful as I can be. And now that I'm back in South Florida and everything that is going on with all of the rising numbers and such and the idiots and idiots that populate the area for the most part, I am staying I'm staying locked down again. I'm not going out there.
It's got to be. Right. We're going to make that work.
I only go out when I have to teach or give a lecture or to go to Publix, but I wear a mask everywhere. But I don't go out a lot.
I do. I got to tell you, Ron, using the mask to travel because you had to have it on all the time, it started getting up my ass a mile.
Hard to do. It's not easy, no. But
it's the breathing and walking and stuff. It was you know, it got up my butt a mile. But
but I've seen these videos of people's parents screaming at a school board meeting about they don't want to have their kids wear masks. And there's only a few to say that, but they're absolutely up the wall. They're crazy.
Well, yeah. on the one point, Ron, I mean, you send your 8-year-old or your 7-year-old child into school with his Spider-Man mask on, and he most likely will come home with a Superman mask because kids are like that. And it would be easy, or a Batgirl. You never know.
I've always joked lately that you couldn't go into a bank with a mask because they think you're robbing it. Now they don't think of it that same way.
No, they don't.
That hits home so much. I have twin 4-year-old boys. One likes Batman, the other one likes Spider-Man.
There you go. See, it's like that. So you really, I met people in Alaska who are definitely anti-vaxxers. In fact, you know, very close. And I'm like, I respect, of course, in Alaska, I honestly thought, well, you really don't, unless you're traveling. You don't have to get that vaccination if you're wearing a mask, and they all do. But, you know, you're not, there's so few people in Alaska, and the people who are there, I kid you not, they really are a very outgoing, friendly, but respectful, and respectful of your space very much. Territory of people. Very independent people. You have to be to live in Alaska. That ain't for nobody who is not a pioneer style. You got to be hardy to be in Alaska. Right. You really do.
Mm-hmm. Which one of the things I'm very, very proud of where I live here in Annapolis, Maryland.
Annapolis is great. I loved it when I was there.
Yeah, it's a beautiful town.
The bays here.
Good bars.
The bars are very nice. That's O'Brien's, which is, I think, they were thinking about naming it after you, but it stuck with O'Brien there, Gwen, by the way. But, people coming into the grocery stores, I'll say the vast majority, up to 85-90%, are wearing masks in there.
Yeah.
We're all vaccinated. But, you know, here in Annapolis, we're all vaccinated.
Here again, too, I'll do my cosmic Pollyanna dance on the fact, not about the political leadership ever anymore, but about people, and especially the people in any country, but in America, most people, I think, are intelligent, reasonable people who do not want to harm one another. I'm not going to say they're good, they're bad, these guys are bad, these guys are good. Then you have people who are fear-based and they enjoy the drama of life by arguing and feathering and embracing, you know, whatever is the most fantastical thing in their, you know, like the insurrectionist folk kind of thing. Yeah, there's those folks in every community. And no matter how much the human race evolves, we're always going to have polarity as our teacher, so there's always going to be a few bad apples in the barrel.
Absolutely. You know, this anti-vaxxing thing would really not be as prominent as it is had it not been ginned up by Trump.
Well, yeah, and his wife were the first ones to get them.
But even Trump brought up that people should get vaccinated in Alabama, and they booed him.
Yeah, they did.
That was
crazy.
Well, that's how far this brainwashing has gone, Professor.
God.
This is nothing but pure 1984 brainwashing.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up someone that I recall Gwen was defending, who I'm not going to defend, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He may be good in some ways, but he is a leading anti-vaxxer, and he's lodged lawsuits against many people who have criticized him. And now he's on this campaign that Sirhan Sirhan, the assassin of Robert Kennedy, his father, gotten a release, but it's up to the governor. I say Governor Newsom should not release him, and I don't know.
No.
And he claims that he believes he didn't do it, but I think he's also loony in the head, and I don't see the evidence to do that. And
no,
his own family, a lot of the Kennedys are against Robert Kennedy Jr., his own sibling.
He's always had that going for him, but I've worked with RFK too. In Boston, and they call him number two, but
he's not his father.
He is not his father, but he's a goddamn good orator and intelligent.
Oh,
well,
he might be, yeah.
He's
but
quick
I,
and sharp.
He's dangerous because
this
vaccine thing is ridiculous.
It makes him dangerous with what he believes in and fights for when it is, and I agree with you, Ron, it's absolute lunacy what he's doing. I don't get it. I really don't. But I do know the guy.
Yeah, Han should be. I don't think he should be released. No, I don't believe in that. You know, we'll see what the governor does. That's, by the way, if he's the governor, because now we have this recall election on the 14th of September, and if he doesn't win 50.1% of the vote, of the total vote, meaning Governor Newsom, then Larry Elder, who's a talk show host, African-American talk show host, who's really right-wing, is leading in the polls. He might only win 10%, but he would become the governor. We'll have a Republican governor. Can you imagine that?
Jesus, God.
It's crazy when you think about California being one of the largest economies in the world, first of all. And that's because of the movie industry.
I think it's eighth largest or seventh largest, yeah. But this Larry Elder, he doesn't believe in women's rights. He doesn't believe in abortion. Everything you could imagine, he's like a real wacko, you know. He's leading, you know, in polls as the alternative to Newsom if he does not win 50.1% of the vote. And they're running scared about that.
And I
wrote about it on my blog this week. The man's a nightmare.
California has always had, you know, diverse, large sections of the state that are conservative, and they've gotten
the House of Representatives is overwhelmingly the Democrats control the House delegation in California. They have both senators. They have the governor. The state legislature is massively Democratic, and yet here we could have a Republican become governor for the rest of the term, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, but he's not Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, he's not.
No, wait, but Arnold Schwarzenegger would be all right.
I like Arnold.
There's no comparison. I'm just saying he took over from Gray Davis when he got kicked out in the same kind of. I don't like this recall idea. I think it's nuts, really.
It's another tool that's being used for political manipulation by, you know, nefarious parties who are looking to line their pockets and set up judgeships. And what do we call? We call them Republicans usually. But here's the thing.
But the thing is, there's also another issue. Dianne Feinstein, you know, she's demented. I've read that. She doesn't know what she's saying or doing, but she's not resigning. She may die. She's 88.
But
if she dies or whatever, or gets out,
and
Larry Elder becomes governor, then he picks a Republican, and there goes the Democratic control of the Senate.
Well, you know, if you're looking close enough right now, I don't know who the F has the Senate, but all of that's been done. Feinstein, I have never liked her, ever.
But she's there forever, and she's got three more years to go after this year. And, you know, Schumer talks to her, and she doesn't remember it. She yells at her staff. They don't tell her things, but they do. She needs to be pushed out, but you can't make her resign. Now, she may die. She's 88. But if she dies at the wrong time, then the governor cannot replace her, meaning this governor, and we can have Larry Elder pick a Republican.
Do you know these things about Feinstein's behavior right now? How do you know?
I've been reading about it.
Where?
In Politico, and I think in the Washington Post and New York Times, that she's not alert.
Okay.
You know, she definitely has dementia, but she doesn't seem to think she does, and Schumer has to keep on repeating things to her, and she doesn't get it. And she also acted in a stupid way. She was embracing Lindsey Graham after a particular committee hearing and saying what a great job he was doing, and people looking at her like, embracing Lindsey Graham? What's wrong with you?
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. It's scary. It's, you know, you remember what Nero did, don't you?
Talking about fiddled while Rome burns.
He fiddled. Yeah, I look at our political. I mean, there's so few really. I listened to Bernie today on Instagram. He was live talking to a group of people, and the guy is. How old? And he's as sharp
80
as
attack. 80 years old. He's going to be 81.
Yeah. He's as sharp as attack, and
he is, but
effective.
But not all of them at that age are. How about Pelosi? She's fantastic. Whether you like her or not, she really is with it.
Oh,
she knows what she's doing, you know?
She's sharp. She's on target. She's herding cats is what she's doing.
But you know what's interesting? Years ago when she was first speaker, 7, 8, 9, and 10, she seemed to stumble and she stuttered, and people said, oh, she's not very good. She's gotten better as she's older.
Well, it's because she learned and grew. I mean, you think you walk in, too. Every new congressperson and every new senator that walks into, because I've watched it from the family side,
But she's already – she was in the House since 1987, but she seemed not that great when she was speaker years ago, 7, 8, 9, 10, but now she's dynamite.
Well, that's because she had just been handed the gavel. And
again,
a whole different – you know, that's a whole different way to work the Congress, you know?
Well, because Congress is worse than it was. Yes, it was bad back then,
but
it's worse now.
Like I said, she's herding cats, but I'm awfully glad she was there while they had that Yahoo in the White House. Because if it hadn't been for Pelosi, we would have been on our asses so much worse than we are now that, you know.
Democrats had not won in 2018 in the House and won the Senate in 2020, although just barely. I can't imagine what it would be like if the Republicans controlled everything all along, you know.
There are sections of Congress and sections of the Senate where you have true leadership, devotion to service. The majority of the people who have been, you know, oathed into office up there are not into service and true leadership.
Oh, you're right.
That's not their gig. But we do have some people who are memorable, will be memorable one day.
Well, of course,
like
but there's also
like
those
AOC.
Who I thought were all right. I mean, I didn't know. And they were newcomers, like Josh Hawley of Missouri. He's a nightmare. You know, he came in. He was backed by John Danforth, a former senator, Republican, who was a very decent Republican. And now he's repudiated him because Josh Hawley's off the wall.
Well, he's a traitor to this country.
And he's only like 42.
Me.
He really is a scary guy,
Let me be very clear what I think, and let me say it here on broadcast. He is a traitor to this country.
Yes.
He is a traitor. So is every one of those Republicans who stood by and said, we're not going to vote on it or what have you. And number one in the slot, I would that gobbleneck bastard who calls himself the head of the Republican Senate, you know?
Yeah.
McConnell. Ted Cruz also. I swear, it sounds funny. I look at him and say, he looks like a devil, whatever that means.
He's everybody. These guys are in there for power and money. They are there to line their pockets, and they've done real good jobs of it. what the years they've been in. They've known where to fill the water and where to fill the well and where to dry the well up in their states to hold their positions. It's all a freaking chessboard. And the only way to wipe that chessboard clean, I'm beginning to think, like my uber lefty buddies do, is for the fall to happen, really. And the same crowd is going to say I'm an idiot for saying this, but I think if Hillary had gotten into office, a lot of positive change would occur.
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact,
she knew how to clear a chessboard. She still knows how to clear a chessboard.
Right.
I mean, I don't think Joe Biden's a bad guy, but I sure as hell am not real happy that he's the president.
Hillary's got the fire. And not good.
And now we're learning that Giuliani admits he lied about all the emails and stuff when he was attacking Clinton in 16.
We knew that. We all already knew it. We really did. I mean, does anybody remember how we were glued to MSNBC? Rachel Maddow was calling it out. So was Chris, I forget his last name. I'm not watching news anymore. I try to stay sane. The only news I do is on Sunday, and I read from my Apple News on my phone. And word of mouth, what I see on Facebook, and then I talk with you guys because I vote. I'm still going to vote, but I sure as shit never am putting in the time again. I'm not, because it just doesn't pay off. We've had wonderful candidates in this state for Congress from my area, from down south of me, and they get beat out for their seats in the Democratic Party. I mean, as the candidate themselves, you know, they put the little fucking tinking machinery in there, you know, this one will go along with whatever I want said, you know, it's that Democratic machine shit that's still going on. And
I hope the Val Demings can be Rubio, though, in the Senate race of 2022.
And
Nikki Free can beat our governor, but it's not going to be easy.
Well, no. It should be easy for Demings to beat Rubio. It really should. But then again, look what happened here with the votes the last time. The only reason Scott and DeSantis are in office is because Scott went down with a bunch of state troopers and took the votes out of Broward County. There were over 30,000 of them uncounted. You know how close it was.
Mm-hmm.
Now Scott, by the way, has said that Biden should be impeached because of what happened in Afghanistan, even though what was happening was what Trump had set up.
And so I'm thinking,
why didn't you say you should – why didn't you vote to impeach Trump, you know, you jerk? You know, he's horrible
– I saw on Instagram, I was scrolling through, and I saw a post of Rachel Maddow, which I thought she had either quit or taken the longest vacation in the world, which, bless her, she should.
She did take a vacation, but she's not leaving. She signed a new contract,
and a lot of people feel that she gets, you know, tinted certain ways because of the networks. But here's the thing, Maddow was putting all this information out, Ron. I mean, we knew all of these things way back. We knew if we were paying, and we were all paying so clear attention because it was, you know, it seemed like our very lives were in jeopardy. Well, they're still in jeopardy. There is something called plague going on, and I guarantee you it ain't done. That mother has come home to clean the planet, and it's going to stay valid.
The first place the mother Earth has to go is go after Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham.
You look at the You look at the countries that are stabilized, that are doing well, that people are, mostly COVID-free and are handling the epidemic in a reasonable and responsible way for their nation. Iceland, Who's in charge there? A woman. New Zealand, another woman. And one of the most fantastical countries in the last 10, 15 years that has done so much for climate change and for their communities and the people has been Germany. And we're losing her.
She's leaving, though, now. Yeah, Germany, yeah.
Yeah, and that sucks. It really sucks. Because I consider her the leader of the free world. I do not consider this president the leader of the free world. I do consider her.
Now she's not going to be the leader next month, I think. It's a sad situation, yeah.
And you take a look at what's going on in Britain. They're as screwed up as America. They're just as much a folly as we are right now.
Well, Johnson is horrible. It's just disgusting.
Well, and then take a look at France. He doesn't know whether to shit or get off the pot. And then you got the guy over in the people in Italy, which, you know, it's always a gamble.
Italy's always a mess, yeah.
Yeah.
And even Japan is not dealing with the epidemic. Can you believe this?
It's really crazy, but when you think about...
But Japan was efficient. I thought they were.
Well, Japan has also allowed nuclear meltdown to occur and do nothing really about it. And the world leadership that should have stepped in and said, we're going to help you, did not do it because Barack Obama did not do it. And I got to tell you... you got to be kidding me! You think Japan? Nah, and they're gonna get walked on pretty quickly too, probably in the next 20 years by the people who use capitalism for their own gain but remain communistical, if you will. And that's China.
China is the economic engine. Now here's something that's always been sticking in my craw here of late. Like I said, I was a regional sales manager. We were designing new products coming out in the W. Bush era. The contract with America, Newt Gingrich Republicans, had made China the most favored nation status. And, you know, we were designing the latest and greatest of our technology here, but it was going to be manufactured in China because they had the cheap rates. Just fast forward here and everything. GM, Ford, all of our U.S. car companies are selling 70% of the volume of their cars in China versus here in the United States. EVs are going to be a thing in this country because China, the communist government, has mandated we got to cure our pollution. Our cars will not run on petroleum gasoline.
Well,
they will be
electric. It's only sanity, but here's the thing. I mean, Beijing still is so fogged over with pollution,
and they're doing
what they can to convert that. But they took too long. That's because they had to have as many purges in political leadership as they could.
Right.
And what the F is going on in North Korea?
Trump told them they can do whatever they want.
The dear leader over there is looking pallid and not good, and yet iron fisting more and more. Mm-hmm. And the world's in turmoil and chaos.
And his sister seems to be the power behind the throne for Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, well, she's stepping in, you know?
Yeah, and she looks scary. Nice looking woman, but she seems scary.
What I was going to say, to finish up my thought, was if war should break out between China and the United States because they decide to go into Taiwan and Hong Kong and even maybe threaten the islands that had belonged to Japan, who is GM and Ford going to fall behind where they're selling 70% of their profits and their cars in China or here when they're doing 30%? Where's the loyalty going to be on these American car companies? The manufacturing force.
They have known for over 40 years that they should be in conversion status. At least half of their rollout for the 20 years should have been, alternatively powered. and the last and these last 20 years they've been playing it they've been gambling that, you know, let's make as much as we can. I mean it's just common sense to take a look at what's happened and what they've done. I'll tell you, when you don't have that much, I mean, everybody in Alaska has these huge, you know, they have to have automobiles that, you know, it's usually trucks and RVs and stuff. And they burn a lot of fuel, and yet their air is clean as can be because there's so few of them on the road.
Exactly.
But down here, mass transit, and more healthy ways of getting around in cities like bikes and stuff. I mean, New York has instituted the bikes for rent, you know, and so San Francisco and a few other big metropolitan areas. But you're right. Why don't we have, you know, the Prius was like a one-off. There's the Tesla, but who can afford these cars? The little smart cars should be all electric, you know? They should be like the people's car, the Volkswagen, you know, the little Beetles that never give up. They still don't give up.
Cars really don't get that good of a gas mileage. They're like around, you know, 28 miles per gallon, those little cars.
But the point is they're running on petroleum, and they should be running on electric. They really should.
Let me share this because I had this brought up to me. Matter of fact, it's you and a second cousin. Well, I need my diesel truck because I'm pulling heavy loads, right? Those battery cars aren't going to work for me. Excuse me. Electric railroad trains, freight trains, are electric DC in motors. The only thing diesel about them is the DC motor that gens up the generator to run those electric motors. They're hauling coal cars and freight all across this country, mile-long cars, using DC motors.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell me that you have to have a big, you know, Cummins diesels in there because you're towing stuff. Bullshit. Nothing turns up torque like a DC motor. They use them in mine to pull coal out of the mines.
Yeah.
You know, so there you go. I'm just, I got that off my soapbox. Nothing develops more torque than a DC motor.
Well, there's these kids in school for the last 10 years, these engineering students and architecture students design. They're designing the future to power a city by the waves rolling on shore. And to clean up the ocean. Some of them have gotten humongous grants from places like, you know, Atlantic Richfield to clean the ocean, and they're going about it in certain places. I mean, I have great hope in the youth. I really do.
I do too, Gwen. I do too. And
I imagine Ron. Yeah. You do too. You work with them every day. You're teaching them, for gosh sakes.
Yes, I wanted to point out, by the way, I asked them all for their background and their plans, you know, to write an email about it. I've never had a class with so many people say they want to be lawyers.
Oh my God.
That's South Florida.
That's South Florida for you. I mean, you know,
I haven't teased him yet, but I think I'm going to say, I see you all want to be lawyers. Good luck on that.
Yeah. Well, lawyers become
need more good lawyers, not lawyers.
Yeah.
You know what Shakespeare said, right? The first thing we do is kill all the lawyers. Historically, hell with it. I mean, you know, we really, and we're winding down to the end of the show, but, you know, we really do need to get rid of patriarchy. We really do.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's all about bad lawyers. How about that woman, Sidney Powell, who lied away, and this other guy, I forgot his name, and, of course, Giuliani, these people are despicable, and they're all going to lose their law license, you know?
I want them to be sued for billions of dollars for the damages due by the computer voting company that
yes.
those machines. That libel lawsuit aspect. I want them to lose everything they've worked their whole lives for.
And also the Arizona situation with that crazy company that was recounting constantly, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
right.
you know,
well,
the thing is, guys, though, that guys like Giuliani have salted their money away in bank accounts that can't be touched. So, I mean, you think they're fools? I mean, they knew they were breaking the law. They knew they were dastardly. They knew what they were. They worked it the way they did, just like their hero, Mr. Trump. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, most of what
and Trump's
he
not
does,
willing to help any of them, you notice?
Oh, yeah, no, he steps away.
Meanwhile, he's still going around having people signing up to send money to him. He keeps on getting money.
How
you know.
Can he legally be doing that? I mean,
I don't know, but... He needs to be prosecuted, and theoretically we're moving toward that, but it's absolutely crazy how long it takes, you know?
Well,
yeah,
and that's another thing. Swift justice is just, as my mother crudely said once, you know, went to take a shit and the hogs ate it up. That's what happened to swift justice in this country. I mean,
yeah.
there is no such thing, not on a level like that. And the other part about that is that, there's no accountability. There is no accountability really going on. Even with the trials that have happened, there's been some jail time and whatnot with people.
Not adequate, no.
No,
it's not adequate, not even close to being accurate.
These people are guilty of traitor. They're guilty
sedition,
of
treason and sedition.
Treason and sedition. It's beyond me. But if I walk down the street with a lit joint, I'm going to get chickened for it. You know what I mean? Good
That's
Lord.
Right.
It's just incredible that all of this is going down. And now we've got this Delta variant. And the one thing I would like to put out to the world is that, you know, folks, support and have some compassion for your teachers right now. The teachers in all the schools in this country really need our support and our
Absolutely.
Compassion and our friggin' votes to get the idiots who are making these choices for them out of office. I mean, it's incredible. Especially the middle school, high school, and all of them from itty bitties from kinder care on up.
Right.
Yeah, let me finish it. We only have a couple of minutes to mention. We have tied the record for most women governors. We have 9 again because Kathy Hochul is now the new governor of New York after Cuomo resigned.
Right. Good.
We have 9 women governors. And that's a tie. We once had it before. And I think that's a good sign. And we need more women governors.
The trouble with that is a couple of them are as crazy as, you know.
Oh, yeah,
right?
In
That's
Iowa and
crazy.
South Dakota, Kristi Noem, she's also running for president. So she's trying to make herself look better than Florida and Texas. They're all monstrous. And Kim Reynolds in Iowa, that's true. The Republican ones are bad, but the Democratic ones are quite good.
Right.
Well, And I have to remind myself every day, not every Republican is an idiot. You know, a lot of them
yes.
don't care. A lot of them
yeah.
are intelligent. And we got 90 mm-hmm. seconds, guys.
Yeah, it's been a great time talking again after more than a month. It was really a lot of fun. Thanks so much. Yeah.
Let's go ahead and sign us off, Glenn.
Thank you, gentlemen, for showing up and being very good with your language. You know, I you know that's so important. To keep the language well.
yeah.
So, and everybody, you can find our progressive professor online at where? On Facebook and at
Twitter?
And I'm blowing this one really bad. Wayne, Ron, thanks very much. Look forward to talking with you again next week.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
And
be safe, both of you.
Yeah, everybody out there, stay safe, please. And
thank you.
Thanks.
The Gulf Basin too. Sending them as much well as I can.
Bye for now.
That's it.